Hey everyone, welcome to episode 357 of the Biz Talk with the Wichita Business Journal podcast. I'm editor Kirk Semenoff. We created this podcast 7 years ago because we want to provide you with some insight into the people, places, companies, organizations, issues that are important to Wichita's business community. The Wichita Business Journal hosted its annual Talent Summit on Tuesday, March 26th, and there were some great discussions about how companies can and should recruit top-notch talent, and just as importantly, how to keep that talent in-house. We asked Kay Monk Morgan, President and CEO of the Kansas Leadership Center, to get the day going with a keynote address, and she did not disappoint. She brought a valuable perspective as someone who has worked in higher education for 30 years and now is at the KLC, an organization that works to help people get the most out of their work and themselves, which makes their companies better. You'll hear Kay's address in this week's episode, and I encourage you to listen to the panel discussions and a fireside chat at our website, wichitabusinessjournal.com. But first, here's a look at what's in the weekly edition of the WBJ. This week's cover story is our 2024 Healthcare Heroes. We have tremendous healthcare professionals in our community, and we are honored to recognize many of them with our annual Healthcare Heroes Honors. You can meet them and learn about why they're so passionate about healthcare, beginning on page 15. This week's list is Area Banks by Deposit Growth. See which institutions have increased their deposits the most and learn about why. The list is on page 8. We also have a roundup of what happened at the Talent Summit, held Tuesday at WSU Tech, and that begins on page 10. Part of our mission is to help small and medium-sized businesses grow. One way we try to accomplish that is through our weekly lead section. We list bankruptcies, new real estate deals, building permits, new corporations, who owes back taxes, and court judgments. Our lead section this week begins way back on page 65. Equity Bank means business. That's why they've created business solutions to help you solve your business challenges. Visit them today at equitybank.com.
And so I'm going to share just a little bit with you about my perspective and some things that I've learned about talent and workforce development. Kurt mentioned that I spent 30 years working in higher ed. I believe that I'm higher ed adjacent now. Once you have engaged in helping to build the lives of young people or providing scaffolding for them as they climb, you don't recover for that. And so I'm going to take a moment of personal privilege because I'm on the mic. When we talk about workforce development and creating folks who will lead our communities, it gives me great pleasure to walk in spaces and to see some of my former students in those spaces as employees. And I've got two in the room today that just makes my heart real big. And so I won't make them stand because that will embarrass them. And I did enough of that when they were in high school. So I just want them to know that you're my absolute aspiration. And when I show up in spaces and you're there and you're shiny and you're new and you're doing your job, it makes my life worthwhile. So know that Mama Morgan loves you. We on a daily basis, I hear people talk about our employees, our staff, our people are our greatest asset. That our company would be nothing if it wasn't for the people who come in and who dedicate their lives sometimes, and if not their lives, their 8 to 5 or 9 to 6 or whatever your hours may be, to driving the mission that many of us set for our companies. It's an area of great interest for us. How do we recruit them? How do we retain them? How do we develop them? If you're like me, I roll over every morning before I get out of bed and I read my Wichita Business Journal moment and kind of pick a couple articles, and then there's typically at least one link that I hit, maybe two, which is why 7:30 comes early, late, because I'm reading things instead of doing all the stuff that I'm supposed to do. But it's an area of high interest. Such high interest that when those sources of data aren't enough, we summit, right? We come together, we share ideas. We want to learn about millennials and Gen Z and Gen Y and the alphas. Lord help us when the alphas arrive. I don't know what that really means, but the alphas are coming, y'all. We have a thirst for knowledge on how we can continue to do better. Our commissioner shared there are lots of great things happening, and yet we still have adaptive challenges that our community is facing every day. And we know that those problems are solved by people. People. So because I don't do talent management every day, I relied heavily on some colleagues in this, and some of them are in the room. And so shout out to Ricky Ellison, who I sent an email in the nth hour and said, girl, I don't know how I find myself in these positions, but I've got to talk about talent, and that's not what I do every day. And she was a ram in the bush. And so some of this data will come from our friends at the Greater Partnership. I told Jeff I stole at least one of his slides, I'm sure. And then some of it from Wichita State. But I just want to walk through. This looks familiar, Ricky? Yeah, I think it's slide 11 of your deck. I found this particular slide fascinating. Because this is the future of work, and Jeff and others in the room could probably tell you a whole lot more about it. It's a 164-page document to thumb through, filled with lots of information, but it talks about how Wichita thinking about, it's a framework for how we think about work, and what got my attention was this notion of a paradigm shift is necessary to enable the future of work. You know, because at the Kansas Leadership Center, one of the things we say is leadership only shows up when people are discontent with the current situation. And so people who are content don't need a paradigm shift. Our commissioner talked about how things need to change. So this resonated with me. This paradigm shift is necessary to enable the future of work. And so it shows up in three parts. Who's doing the work? What work is being done? And where is the work being done? Kind of the workforce, the work itself, and then the workplace. And so I wanted to spend just a little bit of time talking about the workforce. And you'll see at the bottom, it's broken into four particular categories: skills, human capabilities, talent options, and then jobs. I want to talk about just one of those. For those of you that rely on college-educated employees, there's a cliff that we've been talking about in higher ed that I don't hear business industry talk about, and any of my higher ed or higher ed adjacent colleagues in the room know this already, is that the number of young people going to college, so this is college going rate, is anticipated to have a seismic shift in 2025 based on birth rate. So we've known this for the last decade. Every institution in the country is positioning themselves and changing the majors that are available. So oftentimes we talk about higher ed needs to shift because of external pressures. Well, higher ed has to shift because 15% of the students are gone. Headcount matters. So when you think about 15% less students that are college going, and then you add on top of that kind of the narrative that we have in our country right now about even whether or not going to college is a value add. And then you think about the kids who go to college but unfortunately don't complete. The workforce that you all may need that have skills that require a degree, whether from a 2 or 4-year institution, is shifting. So when you start thinking about recruitment and retention, recruitment gets more difficult, so retention becomes absolutely critical because there are fewer folks. So I want to lay that frame as you go throughout the rest of the morning, that there are just fewer folks that are on the way. And so when you get them, it's harder to get them. And when you get them, keeping them is even more difficult, right? I don't know that the business community talks about that particular statistic enough. We got to change our language around the value of a college education. So this is an editorial moment. Usually the people who question whether or not you should go to college already have college degrees and their kids are readily enrolled. I'm going to leave that there. It's one of those not smart things, Kurt, that I might say. This particular slide I borrowed from my friend Tanya Witherspoon at the Innovation Campus over on Wichita State out of one of the decks that she has. It talks about the enrollment of Wichita Public Schools. So if your group or entity does not require college-educated talent and you're looking for high school graduates, there are roughly 47,000 students enrolled in our local school district. What I want to bring your attention to is the diversity of the student body. And so I'll have you to just take a look at how those numbers change. And I would certainly like to highlight that very bottom statistic that almost 80% come from families that are leaving poverty, living in poverty. This is the workforce that that we need in our community. I had a meeting with some colleagues last night, and one of my friends shared a statistic right on the heels of a higher ed conference, and I texted him this morning and said, send this to me, just in case people think this is what's happening in Wichita only. And so this is some national data that I want to read for you. I found it fascinating. The first kindergarten class with majority black and brown students was in 2015, nationally. The first kindergarten class, the first class of high school graduates of over 50% black and brown kids will be in 2021. Okay, they made it to high school. The first class with over 50% black and brown students of college entrance age will be 2028. So by 2028, remember 2025 is the cliff, and then 2028 is when the demographic shift, we'll see that in a very stark way. That's the workforce that we're planning for. And so one of the things, the thing that got me appointed here today was I made the note in a meeting that we have lots of conversation and consternation about DEI in our community, and our community businesses aren't ready for the workforce that they say we want because they're blacker and they're browner than they've ever been. They're more educated. The most educated group of people in the United States are African American women. And our conversations about talent, we don't want to talk about DEI. We don't want to talk about equity. One of the, while the two folks that are in this room are great pride moments for me of young people in the world, even greater than the two of them are the two that my husband and I raised at our home. They're 26 and 24. So I learn a lot about whatever gen they are. Because it feels like they fluctuate. I don't know exactly who they are, but I do know that how they get down is a lot different than how my husband and I approach life. The decisions that they make are very different than the decisions, the criteria for their decision making is very different. I've got one son who already left a job because there was not diversity, and he was the only African American male in his company. And he lasted about 18 months, and he said, I can't do that. They don't understand me. I don't feel comfortable. I'm questioned in ways that other people aren't questioned, and the company doesn't seem to have an interest in learning how to keep me. And he left. Great choice for him, bad choice for the company. I have another son who sits at our dining room table just last night, and they were going through their Robinhood accounts. And it's fascinating to watch because as a young person, I didn't have a Robinhood. As an old person, I don't have a Robinhood account. Right? Not one of the things that I've learned to do yet. But they're sitting, one of them is pulling up stocks and the other is pulling up the faces of the people who are on the board of directors. And if the faces of the board of directors don't reflect a diversity that they want, a diversity of perspective that they want, they skip that stock. And they move to something different. When they're talking, my youngest son did some recruitment. He works at Spirit Aerosystems. And so they had the National Society of Black Engineers Conference in Atlanta just this last week. And industry partners from all over the world show up in that space to find talent and bring them back. And Peyton comes home and he's like, Mom, I don't know what the folks in our community get or don't get, but there's something magical that happens when people pay attention to talent that looks maybe different. There's something, there's an excitement, there's an enthusiasm, there's a desire to want to get up and go to work when people care about their culture. And so this last slide just tells you a little bit about what's happening at Wichita State. I'm so proud of my colleagues, both here and on the main campus, where Dr. Muma has oversaw the largest headcount in Wichita State University's history with regard to credit hours. But even there, we see that almost 60% of the undergraduate enrollments were for underrepresented minorities. Graduate enrollments, almost 24% of those, and 17% of those students are Hispanic. The workforce looks different. So we can talk a little bit about talent options. I've got colleagues in the room that can tell you a whole lot more about the work and what is happening in that space, and so I'm going to leave that to them because there's some expertise, and I've learned a long time ago, leave the expert stuff to the expert stuff. But I do want to talk about where the work is being done a little bit, that workplace part. And in particular, I want to talk about culture and collaboration, because that's what we do at the Kansas Leadership Center. We talk a lot about what is the culture for collaboration in your organization. And when we talk about the recruitment side, we know that that's changing, right? The talent pool that we've been pulling from, whether they are highly skilled folks or they're high school graduates, that pool is changing. So we got to get them. So we got to prepare for that. And then once we get them, here's some things I'd invite you to start thinking about in your particular culture that might help you retain them, because that becomes the even harder piece. This idea, I'm telling you, y'all, I worked at the same institution for 30 years. Now, I had 9 different jobs in 11 different offices, but I was at the same place for a really long time. If my children are at a job for 5 years, they feel like they've done something. In fact, at the 2-year mark, they're like, I think I might test it. I might test it. You don't even know anything yet. You better learn. You better get good at something before you try to go get another job. They don't think that way, right? And these are young people who have parents that are paying attention and maybe over parenting for 26 and 24, just maybe. I don't know about you all, but I'll tell the truth on myself. And even keeping them focused on building a skill set to move can be a challenge, because they're chasing resources, they're chasing money, they're chasing vacation hours. I got a kid who says, I go to work at 7:30 and I get off at 4:30. I don't know why you're on your computer at 9. I'm like, because I have a job. He's like, I do too, but I don't work like that. They don't pay me that way. Different way to think. Different way to think. So this retention piece, big work. Culture, big work. Do you have a culture of leadership and collaboration where anyone can lead anytime, anywhere? We talk about that at the Kansas Leadership Center. And that doesn't mean that everybody's the boss or that there's no authority in a space, but it does mean that people get an opportunity to show up as themselves, their professional version of themselves, because you don't always want the K who's not Dr. Monk Morgan to show up, but the professional version of themselves. Is there an opportunity for idea sharing? How have you created your meetings such that folks have voice and in some cases vote on how your organization is going to operate? That's what leadership looks like. Are there experiments that you're willing to entertain? This idea of things have been the way that they have. You know, one of the things that frustrates young people, and I know this again because of the young people I've had in my life, to the nth degree is this question of we need to go back to the way things were before COVID. What young person do you know wants to go back to anything? None. They don't want to go back to the office. They don't want to go back to, they don't want to go back, right? They're all about what's forward, what's innovative, what's cool, what's nuanced, what HBR is talking about, what they read about in Forbes. And if you're not aligning your work with what's available to them in the greater media sphere, made up word, media sphere, then you might have an issue with retaining the talent. Do you know the stories that other people tell about your companies? Are you paying attention to what your marketing reflects? You know, one of the things that continues to baffle me is when organizations take universities used to get a lot of flack for what we call shish kebab shots. You all familiar with shish kebab shots, where they find a black kid, a white kid, a Hispanic kid, an Asian kid, a kid that's differently abled, and that visibly differently abled, and put them on a picture on front of a catalog. Yeah, you all have seen that. If you've sent a kid to college, you've seen a shish kebab shot, right? We used to get a lot of flack for that, and it wasn't very sophisticated marketing, and institutions have gotten much better. The business community sometimes does the opposite of that. We'll put up a picture, and everybody in the picture looks exactly the same, down to the blue suit, red tie. When you're marketing to young people, it may not be your best move to put a picture on top of your marketing if it's not reflective of the generations of the folks who are coming. Because that talent attraction and retention starts really young. Kids, particularly kids that grow up in poverty, start talking about what kind of jobs they want to have when they're young. And it's based on what they see. What they see, and so where they see themselves is based on what you show them. So we've got to be really intentional about what it is that we put forth reflecting our industry, or what we put forth reflecting the work that we do, if indeed we want to be attractive to the college graduates and the high school graduates are coming. And I don't know that we're always really attentive to that, but those folks are making decisions. We talked about the economic welfare of our community. The folks who are getting new resources, because remember, many of these kids are coming from impoverished backgrounds. And so when they do get a professional job and they have resources to do things, they're intentional about how they're investing those dollars in a way that my generation, and probably generations before didn't have that option. My generation wasn't that sophisticated. These kids can Google anything and will hold us accountable for what it is that we say that we want to do. So does your marketing reflect the story you want most told? Because that's part of your recruitment and retention. And then the notion of inspiring a collective purpose. We talk often at the Kansas Leadership Center about holding to purpose. And if your purpose is to recruit and retain the best talent, and you know that the best talent is coming out of the institutions where you go to find them, and you know that you want to not just get them but retain them and have them to be there contributing to your community for a really long time, hold true to that purpose, which may mean you have to shift some things. Our initial slide said a paradigm shift is needed for the future of our workforce. And so while you're listening to the experts today, I would invite you to just be mindful of what are the leadership activities you and your company are willing to entertain in order to really be able, as a microcosm in your own entity and in the larger city of Wichita and Sedgwick County, to both recruit the greatest talent and retain that talent. The research gave us a roadmap. Our community has adopted it and is making great progress. You'll get to hear, I think, some of that progress later this morning. This idea of shifting the paradigm, it's absolutely necessary. Dissatisfaction is a launch pad. Hope is the fuel. Damon Young at the Kansas Leadership Center said that to me the other day, and I was like, I'm going to use that. That's good. That's good. Dissatisfaction. If you're not pleased, leadership doesn't show up until we have had it. Leadership doesn't show up until we get to the point where we say, you know what the current state is not sufficient. If your current state is not sufficient, when you think about talent retention and recruitment, what needs to shift? What might you need to do differently? As you prepare for not just the workforce that you have today, but the future of workforce, what are the changes that will be made that will allow you to be a leader in your industry and to not be on the lag, to have a sustainable workforce where you don't have fluctuations, where you have 24-year-olds who are already 24, and if you have a 24, you know what that means, but that understand that you get a job and you keep a job until you've mastered that, and then maybe you think about something different. Novel at our house, but an idea that I'd invite them to take on. You all have big work to do, whether you're a small business owner or you work in a corporate environment, or you represent HR efforts throughout our community. This idea of recruiting and retaining and bringing people into the workforce, sustaining our community, sustaining our economic viability is big work. It's big work. And so know that along with our county commissioner, I have lots of hope. I have lots of hope because like me, many of you roll over and read lots of things before you get out of bed. And like me, when you don't know what to do, for sure, you come to a summit. Thanks so much.
That's it for Biz Talk this week. Hope you enjoyed hearing from Kay. Episode 357 is in the books. Check out all our podcast episodes at our Biz Talk Hub. That's at WichitaBusinessJournal.com. Thank you for listening and subscribing. Biz Talk is a production of the Wichita Business Journal. Thanks very much to our founding sponsor, Equity Bank. Creating the business concept turned out to be the easy part. The challenges that follow is where Equity Bank comes in. Equity Bank was built by entrepreneurs for entrepreneurs. Let them help your business evolve and solve your challenges. Tomorrow is here. Visit them today at equitybank.com/evolve. Be well and be safe. Have a profitable week.